Hiya, this is Shani Dunster from the International Bunch. Today we're going to talk about growth hacking. A decade on, is this competitive marketing strategy still relevant? When growth hacking became the new buzzword back in 2010, it was a strategy used by marketers to achieve a competitive advantage. Originally emerging from Silicon Valley, it was a term coined by keynote speaker and author Sean Ellis and used by startups as a means of promotion with a minimal budget. A quote from Sean Ellis. I put a name on it. It's really the scientific method that's been around for thousands of years applied to growth. Lots of people were already doing it, so 10 years ago, I said this thing needs a name and came up with growth hacking. So, growth hacking vs traditional advertising. Although many people consider them to be the same thing, there is a subtle difference. Growth hacking is not a substitute for marketing, it is part of it. It is a mindset within a marketing team, a means of revenue generation for minimal outlay. Typically, growth hacking combines advertising, optimization, and developmental know-how to create automated advertising on a very small budget. Examples of growth hacking practices can include, but are not limited to, automated notification emails, easy sign-up homepages, streamlining onboarding for new clients, gamification of onboarding to encourage social sharing, monetizing the data your contacts import into an app or social media feed. Growth hacking involves constant data analysis, optimization, testing, and updating. It is no surprise that the early growth hackers were firmly rooted in the world of programming. They work fast. They test new ideas. They continuously analyze the data so they know which growth drivers to pursue and which to ditch. It's often trial and error, but the faster they implement new ideas, the more likely they are able to find scalable ways to grow their business. When Gmail launched, it used an invite-only system to drive growth. The fear of missing out is a powerful marketing technique. Business-to-consumer B2C brands use flexible strategy and innovative marketing techniques to increase lead generation and grow revenue at a fraction of the cost of traditional marketing. Growth hacking is an umbrella term used to describe innovative techniques and strategies focused on the growth of your business. What's in a name? Growth hacking has become a victim of jargon. Businesses love the idea of growth, but the word hacking sounds cheap. I think that the definition of growth hacking in people's heads need to change. Should our mindset be to focus more on the growth and less of the hacking? After all, growth is as important as product design and marketing to most companies, so affordable ways to grow are surely worth pursuing, whatever they're called. Another quote from Sean: growth hacking is about running smart experiments to drive growth within your business. If you're not running experiments, you're probably not growing. The problem is that the traditional marketing is variably focused on driving brand awareness. It uses more qualitative metrics to measure success. Growth hacking differs from traditional marketing by creating a company-wide culture of experimentation to move both key qualitative and quantitative business metrics. So, how does growth hacking use your data? Companies such as Facebook lost a lot of consumer trust in the early days. They use their users' data to inexplicably grow their business. To get more of an insight, it's well worth watching The Social Dilemma as it unveils the hidden machinations behind everyone's favorite social media and search platforms. Corporations such as LinkedIn and Facebook allow you to import all your contacts from multiple email importing services. Well, why wouldn't they? As soon as your contacts are in the system, they have all the data they need to invite your connections to join you on the platform and engage with you and other users' content. People are more mindful now about data privacy. Users are more empowered and now have the means to guard their data. They have the ability to block unwanted tracking, opt in as opposed to opt out of cookies and email marketing, remove personalization, modify ad preferences, hide location identifiers. What does the future hold for growth hacking? A lot has changed in the way marketers have adapted the practice of growth hacking over the last few years. Users are more careful with the data, and companies generally have to be more transparent about how they use it. That said, businesses will always be looking for a cost-effective route to growth, and there is still a lot to be learned from. Growth hacking about maximising growth with minimal budget input. Thank you for listening today.